Ridiculous History is a production of iHeartRadio. This is going to be an obnoxious beginning. Cheerio! Hello! Welcome to Ridiculous Historians. I'm not going to do that voice the whole time. Hi, I'm Ben.
Hi, I'm Noel. Chim chim cheroo to you as well, my friend.
Yes, yes. And there's our super producer, Casey Pegram, who is tolerating these terrible accents.
Chim chim cheroo to thee.
Chim chim, fellows.
Thank you. I was, over the weekend, guys, I rewatched Mary Poppins for the first time in a long time.
It was research, though, right? I mean, like, come on.
Yeah, it was. And there was a lot of stuff. There were a lot of plot points in there that I kind of missed when I was watching it as a child. And one of the things that I missed is they kind of, they kind of glamorize chimney sweeps, don't they?
They sure do. A sweep is as lucky can be. They occasionally slip into interdimensional animated realms and kick it with penguins and dressed up as waiters. And what even is his relationship with Mary Poppins? Are they like lovers? Are they just pals? Is palling around?
They have the entire film brims with this sort of will they, won't they? Right. And there's a past with Bert, the chimney sweep.
I watched Bert.
Yeah, played by Dick Van Dyke, legend in his time. There's a past between Bert and Mary Poppins. We're not sure what it is, but there's definitely a deep vein of affection between them.
And sexual tension, if I might add.
Yeah, that's the will they, won't they that I'm talking about, right? Or will they, won't they again in front of these kids.
I think there's also a strong implication that Bert the chimney sweep is imbued with some sort of magical powers similar to that of Mary Poppins.
Yeah, yeah. Like if she's a cosmic superhero power level, he's like street level superhero. He's sort of the daredevil to her Captain Marvel, which is cool. You don't see a lot of nitty-gritty chimney work on Bert's part, but you kind of assume it goes on in the background, like the construction background you can hear in today's episode.
That was a great segue, Ben, and like you said, we're just going to have to power through it today. Such is the nature of recording under quarantine. But no, it's true. I don't think you see him. I don't think a single chimney is swept in the whole of that film. He's just kind of goofing off with the kids. Like, how's he making a living?
Yeah, it must be his off season, or maybe he is occupied with some of the other social duties of chimney sweeps, which have nothing to do with chimneys at all. This was a weird thing for us, folks. We didn't know this, or I didn't know this, but apparently it's good luck to see a chimney sweep on your wedding day, and it's also good luck to shake their hands or have them kiss you, and it's also good luck to just, like, lay hands upon a chimney sweep early in the morning. This is weird. They have this this sort of folkloric association with good luck.
Yeah, I mean, most of that's laid out in the delightful song, Chim Chimney, Chim Chimney, Chim Chim Cheree. I don't know if that's exactly the official title, but, you know, he says a sweep is as lucky can be. Good luck will rub off when I shake hands with you. I guess the implication is the luck is the soot. I don't know. It's interesting. But like I said, Dick Van Dyke's character in that movie definitely seems to be a low-tier superhero. And there's other little kind of spins on this tradition. At one point, it was actually customary for the town's chimney sweep to carry a pig around through the streets. On New Year's Day, pigs are also a harbinger of good luck, especially in Asian countries, if I'm not mistaken, Ben.
Yeah, the issue here is that this was a terrible, terrible celebration for the pig because people paid the chimney sweep a small sum, a tuppence or whatever, and the chimney sweep would then allow them to make a wish while pulling a hair from the pig. So this is a terrible New Year's Day for the poor pig.
Ugh, yikes.
And like you said, Bert, Dick Van Dyke's character in Chim Chim Cheree, he makes several references musically to these long-standing traditions. But where did they come from? That's what we're looking at today. There are a couple of different legends And maybe, Noel, Casey, at the end, we can ask ourselves which seems most likely. But, you know, no harm, no foul if we can't definitively, you know, nail down the correct answer. Just as long as we get through this without Jonathan Strickland, a.k.a. the Quister, showing up, then I think we're in a good spot, because you know that he will do all of Mary Poppins. He will just do all of it.
Oh, God. I can't imagine. I cringe at the thought. But let's, it's true. Today we have a regular old history mystery on our hands. So let's do the thing where we kind of weigh the possibilities. And then at the end, we'll kind of maybe decide which one we think is the best. So in 1066, King William of Britain was supposedly rescued by a sweep who actually pushed him out of the way of an oncoming carriage.
Superhero move.
Exactly. And so the king, believing that, you know, obviously the rescuing of the king in and of itself is like an act of good luck that should have tendrils that extend into, you know, the rest of society, because he, after all, is like, you know, a god on earth. He believed that the chimney sweep brought him luck, and he invited the sweep to his daughter's wedding on this, the day of his daughter's wedding.
Mm-hmm. And if it's good enough for the king, then it's good enough for you, right, folks? That's why ever since, according to this theory, it's been considered to be tremendously good luck to have a chimney sweep at your wedding, or really any special event, or have them visit your house, not just to clean the chimney, but to sort of, a phrase I'll make up now, chimney bless you. In addition, I just want to add that for a long time as a kid, I thought I was pronouncing the word chimley, and no one corrected me.
Well, there's actually a song by the band The Decemberists called The Chimbley Sweep.
Yes.
So I don't think you were alone in that. And I think it maybe is perhaps a colloquialism kind of way of pronouncing it.
Yeah, chimbley is a legitimate sort of dialectical variation of chimney. But I didn't even have the B. I just thought it was chimley.
Mm-hmm.
No one said anything. But anyway, mispronunciations, dialects aside... No, the weirdest part about this is that in this theory, it said that the king was so taken by having his life saved that not only did he have this guy at his wedding, but he said, you know what? Not just you. Hashtag yes, all sweeps. All chimney sweeps are lucky. And if you're a chimney sweep, you can only wear a top hat.
And nothing else.
I think they wore clothes as well. Yeah.
Sackcloth.
Or maybe the strategically placed top hat. They didn't say it was on their head.
Well, I have a question for you, Ben. If all these chimney sweeps are doing all these wedding gigs, who's sweeping the dang chimneys?
Well, they're probably sweeping them like when they get to the wedding.
Right. And then they make a little stop in. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, they have that nice soot.
Yeah, they had kind of a uniform. They wore these top hats, which was actually like sort of like a special dispensation, like from the king, because top hats previously had been reserved for royalty and landed gentry, right? Then in another twist of superstition, the sweeps were thought to be luckier if they wore 13 buttons on their jacket. 13 being a lucky number? I always thought 13 was an unlucky number.
13 is an unlucky number in Western culture, which is maybe if we're speculating, it's sort of the good luck power of the sweep canceling out the bad luck power of 13, right? Maybe. But the legend has it that a sweep can cancel out any bad luck in general. So, like, if you're strolling down the streets of merry old England, you walk under a ladder or a black cat crosses your path and you're the superstitious sort, your next move immediately is to go to a chimney sweep and say, like, hey, can I give you some money to rub you, I guess, or to pull a hair from your pig if it's New Year's Day? That's legend one.
Ben, not to get too off track, but I'm sure you know this being a cat person, but did you know that a lot of like black cats are abused and at the very least not adopted as frequently as other cats because of that superstition?
Yes, it's terrible.
It's really a terrible thing. Yeah.
But as we continue to peel back the onions or scrape away the soot of this legend, we find another theory. It has some of the same tropes. A chimney sweep saves the life of a king, but this time it's George II or George III. People aren't sure.
Yeah. It was said that during like a royal parade, a procession, a hound bit the legs of the king's horse. So he gave him a little nip and the horse got spooked, as horses do. And then out of nowhere, this chimney sweep emerges from the crowd and soothes the animal. And then vanishes as quickly as he appeared. Less sexy of a story than pushing the king out of the path of a runaway carriage, I would argue. But still, you know, it's a very similar trope of like the mysterious sweep just appears, saves the day, and then vanishes into the, you know, crowd.
Mm-hmm. And hey, it may have been his dog, too. That might be why he vanished.
Oh, so, that's a good point.
So this one has a little bit more of a motivation for the king, I think. Because there's a great Atlas Obscura article about this, the many possible reasons British people hire chimney sweeps for their weddings. According to some speculation, because the king was not able to identify this individual sweep personally, he said, ugh, forget it. You know, I'm busy ruling. So just every sweep is lucky. Go forth through the land. Every sweep shall be the luckiest of the trades.
Indeed. Is an act of benevolence or laziness? That's for history to decide. If it even happened.
True. Also a very good point. So in this article, we've got the account from one Liz Leister about the research she put into this. And she says, my study has found no written royal decree to give us the true facts. And there's some confusion as to which King George to credit. So the story with the horse, she says, happened sometime between 1730 and 1740. So that would be King George II, 1727 to 1760. But the top hat came around in the 1770s. So she understands why people think it might have been King George III.
Interesting. That's a good clue right there, I would say. All right. Legend three, the falling chimney sweep.
Ooh, this is good. This is a, what do they call it in rom-coms? This is a meat cute.
I love a meat cute, Ben. I love a good meat cute.
What happened? Lay it on us.
Yeah, so a chimney sweep in the execution of his sweeply duties lost his balance and took a tumble from a gutter. And then a woman inside the house that he was sweeping saw him and pulled him inside to safety. So he, I guess, like, was like dangling or something. And then she opened a window and like gave him a helping hand and pulled him in. And it was love at first sight. The two fell in love and were married, you know, according to this legend, instantly. You know, take that with a grain of salt. But that's where the idea of having a chimney sweep at your wedding and giving him a little peck on the cheek or to the, you know, for the bride, is considered a sign of a good omen, you know, fortuitous things to come.
Mm-hmm. And that one comes to us from our very own How Stuff Works, which we can't recommend enough. So shout out to the author, Deborah Ronka. Why is it good luck to shake a chimney sweep's hand? This is the thing. Before we go to the other theories, I just want to ask, doesn't it seem strange that a job, and I'm not going to be like micro dirty jobs about it, but does it seem strange that it becomes good luck to physically engage with someone who, you know, has a lot of dirt and soot on them? It's odd. And maybe the counterintuitiveness is part of why the legend stuck around. I don't know.
It is odd, Ben. And I'll tell you another quick aside story that's also odd. Are you familiar with the European Christmas character, Black Peter?
I already know it. Yeah, yeah. Yep, yep.
Yeah. Any folks that aren't as familiar, he essentially is sort of like considered in Santa Claus mythology to be like a demon that Santa Claus has tamed. And he sort of acts as like a hand servant or whatever to Santa Claus. But he is traditionally considered to be a Moor from Spain. So a black person from Spain. Of Spanish descent, and is often portrayed by white people wearing blackface and bright red lipstick and this kind of little jester's outfit. And it's, you know, been a tradition in Europe for many, many years. And it's, you know, obviously become very problematic, especially in the last, you know, decade or so, if not, I mean, obviously it's been probably longer than that, but there's a sort of a petition, or maybe like a petition to make an alternative version of this character called Soot Smudge Pete, which I guess
doesn't really fix it.
Justifies the blackface or implies that it's something else. But then I looked into the, because I only bring this up because I heard this on NPR the other day about Soot Smudge Pete. And so I assumed maybe that Black Pete was always supposed to kind of, that was sort of always the thing, and people were just getting bent out of shape, but that's not the case. But I thought maybe he was like, you know, essentially Santa Claus's chimney sweep, like on hand, that would like go ahead of him in the chimneys and clean it out so Santa wouldn't get his like, you know, nice white shiny duds all smudgy. But that's just me thinking creatively, I guess.
Yeah, I like where your head's at. Yeah, Zwarte Piet is the... It's how people would know it in Dutch, right?
That's right.
This guy, first off, the people dressing up this way look just as Al Jolson and offensive as you might think.
Oh, it's bad.
Yeah, but the there is an interesting intersection possibly with chimneys, because you can link this to the Nordic idea of the wild hunt of Odin. Think about it. Another very powerful old white guy is flying through the air on the wild hunt. He's accompanied by his white horse, Sleipnir, but he's also accompanied by two ravens, Hugin and Munin. I think that's thought and memory. Somebody check me on that.
Nice.
And they would listen at the chimneys of homes they visited to tell Odin essentially who was naughty and who was nice, who was behaving well and who was behaving poorly. And Zwarte Piet may be doing some of the same things. So I don't think that's off base at all. I do think that proposed solution of, what was it, smudge, soot face?
Soot Smudge Piet, yeah.
I don't know if that fixes it.
Oh, I don't think it does either. And last thing, before we move on with chimney sweeps, Zwarte Piet is also of a longstanding German tradition of Santa Claus having some sort of like boogeyman that accompanies him, that like will basically punish the bad children. And it's something to strike fear into the hearts of children to make sure they behave, so they make sure they're on the nice list.
What's a Krampus? That's
Krampus,
the one I'm thinking
of. Or Belschnickel is another one. You might remember from the episode of The Office where Dwight portrays Belschnickel, and he'll like whip you with reeds if you're a bad little boy or girl.
And now we see more explanations. So I like that we're building in a mythological aspect here, because I think a lot of people know this now, but quite a few modern traditions that seem somewhat inexplicable do descend from ancient mythology and ancient folkloric beliefs. Back in 1951, an historian named Philip Brown came up with another idea about chimney sweeps and good luck and weddings. And he went deep. First off, he went through all the three legends we discussed and their variations, and he didn't like them. So he said it might have something to do with, or he had a couple of pitches. He said it might have something to do with ancient Roman associations between, get this, soot and fertility, because he points out Vulcan, the god of the fire and the forge, the blacksmith god, was married to Venus, the goddess of love. And there was also that tradition of sweeping out the fireplace on New Year's Day for good luck. I applaud him. You know what? If I was his professor, A+ for thinking outside of the flue. There we go. That's a part of a chimney.
But here's the thing. All of this sounds very mystical and whimsical. And to see old Bert and Mary Poppins dancing around, you know, with the animated penguins, you'd think that the chimney sweep's life was charmed, especially with all this talk of luck and all of that. But the actual life of a chimney sweep, as you can hear in the lyrics to that that December song I mentioned earlier, was actually pretty bleak. I'll give you a quick reading. I am a chimney sweep, no bed to lie, no shoes to hold my feet. Upon the rooftops in dead of night, you'll hear me cry. I'll shake you from your sleep. To hear me weep, your day will come indeed, for I am a poor and a wretched boy, a chimney sweep. I am an orphan boy. I've known no love. I've seen no mother's joy. A dirty doorstep, my cradle laid, my fortune's made, I'll shake you from your sleep. Yikes. Sounds pretty bleak. It sounds to me as though like the job of a chimney sweep was like the bottom of the barrel, dirtiest job that only the lowliest of the low could attain. And it was, they were lucky to have any kind of employment at all. It was sort of like a step up from being on the streets.
Yeah, bottom of the fireplace, indeed. I do also want to point out, whenever somebody says bottom of the totem pole, if you want to be one of those actual people at parties, those actually people, you should point out that the individuals identified on the bottom of the totem pole are the most important. It's actually the ones on the top that are the newest and least important.
That was a good actually, Ben.
That was a good actually. But this is true. Life is terrible for many chimney sweeps, especially beginning in the late 1600s. That's when people, due to the Great Fire of London, which destroyed so many ancient buildings, people started building newer buildings with skinnier chimneys, and adult sweeps began hiring children, often orphans, young boys, to scuttle up inside the chimneys to clean them. And these kids had to work off, like some of them had families and they were just trying to supplement their family's income, but then orphans or abandoned children came under the care of something called the Poor Law, which is as callous as you might imagine it. But most of them were put into the care of employers who said, you know, I'll give you room and board, a crust of bread, and a corner in the barn if you work like a dog for me, work like a turnspit dog.
Mm-hmm. Or a turnspit boy, you'll recall.
Yeah, and I want to emphasize this. We're talking kids. We're talking children as young as 4 years old are forced into having a job with someone who may not necessarily care about them. You know what I mean? They're just like, you are another tool that I use.
Yes, utterly expendable. Because they were the perfect size to kind of, like you said, shimmy their way up into these super tight, dangerous, and toxic, you know, brick chimneys. And sweep them out, they would have to just literally kind of, like I said, shimmy up there using their bare knees and elbows and hands. And they would often be, you know, stripped raw. And God only knows what kind of infections you could get in that situation. I mean, just gross stuff. And they would, you know, inevitably become covered in calluses and scabs, and they'd be inhaling all of these toxic chemicals and smoke and dust and, God, it just sounds like an absolute nightmarish situation. Exposure to these conditions would cause irreparable lung damage, like black lung disease. And, you know, this sounds so horrible and callous to say, but it's just absolutely true. The smaller you were, the better. You would be considered a much more desirable chimney sweep if you were very, very young or very, very small.
Yeah. And by the time you reached the age of 10, you were washed up as far as this profession was concerned. Another extra tidbit of terribleness, some kids got stuck in chimneys, or some got frightened of climbing up inside these dark things because they're children, right? And there's a lot of, not hard proof, but there's a lot of anecdotal evidence that their bosses, whomever the Fagans were to these Oliver Twists, might light a fire underneath the kids to incentivize them to climb out of the chimney. The sides of chimneys also are very unhealthy places, and many of these kids ended up with, as you said, respiratory disease, also burns and irritation, or the first occupational cancer ever diagnosed in history, chimney sweeps cancer. It's a type of scrotal tumor.
Oh, that sounds like what it is, I imagine, yeah.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Chimney sweeps cancer is a euphemism at best.
Wanted to mention one last thing. I should have mentioned it when we were talking about the size requirements. This was often leaned into by the, you know, sweep masters or whatever you want to call them. And the kids were often underfed with the intention of like stunting their growth or just keeping them skinny enough that they could get up in those chimneys.
Mm-hmm. So So this is terrible, you might be saying. Ben, Noel, Casey, why did you trick me into hearing about the horrors of child labor? Well, because it's important, but also because there is a bit of a happy ending. This is not the case with the chimney sweeping industry today. Back in the 1800s, the UK Parliament passed a number of restrictions on child labor, but they didn't really start enforcing them until the 1890s or so. In the 1830s, Parliament started caring about the exploitation of child labor in general. And that's part of why the Chimney Sweeps Act passed in 1834. Here's what they did. They said, look, if a kid is under 10, you can't be sticking them up chimneys. And if they're under the age of 14, they can't be climbing up the chimneys.
Yeah, you would think that the law that was in place earlier that was so horrible for these kids called the Poor Law would have been one that was like benefiting the poor, like to, you know, give them some protection, but not the case. But at least here we're starting to inch into some modicum of like protection for at least the smallest child. How was it organized now, Ben? Like, how was it structured in terms of like, you know, was it still this level of indentured servitude, or was it more like I'm going to apprentice under a chimney sweep at 14 and become, you know, a professional sweep?
Well, it probably varied on a case by case basis, you know, because this is still a means of livelihood for a lot of kids who are abandoned or orphans. So it really depends on the approach and attitude of whomever their mentor is or their sponsor, right? This clearly still didn't quite cut the mustard, didn't quite clean the chimney for Parliament. So in 1840, there was a revised Chimney Sweeps Act that said, okay, JK, everybody, calm down. We're raising the minimum age of apprenticeship to 16. And then, of course, this was also ignored because these laws, we have to be super transparent about this. These laws were affecting the poor, which meant that it was on the establishment to enforce these laws. Didn't happen. Is what I'm saying. Children under 10 were still being made to climb up chimneys, their health be damned, until weirdly enough, a novel comes out in 1863.
That's right. The delightfully named The Water Babies, which is a novel by Charles Kingsley. And it, you know, among other things, chronicled the absolute abysmal treatment that children were seeing in this type of job. And that is through the eyes of the novel's protagonist, Tom, who is a child chimney sweep. And this is a great example of the power of literature, like things like The Jungle by Upton Sinclair, you know, pointing out horrible conditions in meatpacking industry. And it's something where when enough people hear about it through literature, even if it's fiction, if it represents something real, it is the kind of thing that will cause a groundswell of support and can actually change laws. So, I mean, that's, you know, I think that's really an amazing testament to the power of art and literature. So Parliament did respond, and they created something called the Chimney Sweepers Regulation Act. And it meant well, but didn't do a whole hell of a lot.
Right. Yeah, you read my mind, because I was looking back at this as well with Upton Sinclair's The Jungle, which is a fantastic book. Even though it's written in 1906, I think the message is impactful and it's well worth reading today. I have not at this point read The Water Babies, but if you have, Ridiculous Historians, let us know if it's worth the read. As you said, Noel, this does impact legislation, and this legislation actually gets enforced. Today, however, your local chimney sweep may well appear at weddings as a side hustle, because this concept of the lucky sweep survived all the real world legislation and all the real world concerns. You can see lucky chimney sweeps in Mary Poppins, of course, but you can also see a lucky chimney sweep in Ulysses by James Joyce, which I enjoyed very much. But it's a book that is some work to read.
Yeah, that one's kind of got the stream of consciousness kind of vibe to it, right?
Most of Joyce does after that period. It's still, once you get into it, it has these beautiful moments. There's one moment where, and this is not really a spoiler because of the way it's written, there's one moment where these two guys are pretty inebriated and they're like standing with their backs to each other and they're peeing outside of some horrible adventure. And it's like one of the most beautifully written scenes ever about who you are and where you are in the universe. Anyway, yeah. You're right, though. Stream of consciousness can make him sort of inaccessible, but there's a minor character in Ulysses who talks about invoking soot's luck, which is clearly Joyce's reference to this chimney sweep luck. And then Prince Philip, on the morning of his wedding in 1947 to Queen Elizabeth, now Queen Elizabeth, he walked outside and like found a chimney sweep and shook his hand. Since he was the prince, I imagine they set him up with one in advance, right?
Do you watch that show, The Queen, on Netflix, Ben?
I do not. Do you mean the
I'm sorry, The Crown. The Crown is what it's called. The Crown, excuse me.
No, yes. But I love the actors in it.
I do too. The casting is bonkers. In the new season, I think they've kind of caught up more to, like, you know, the era of that monarchy that maybe we grew up remembering, like with Princess Di and Charles and all of that stuff and Camilla and all that. But it makes me want to check it out. And I got to wonder, like, if in the dramatization of Queen Elizabeth's marriage to Prince Philip, they have this chimney sweep moment. Write in. Let us know.
And right now, if you are getting married in the UK, I don't know how common this is in the US, but if you're getting married in the UK, for about £100, you can have a chimney sweep show up to your wedding. They'll shake hands, they'll kiss the bride or the groom or, you know, the partners, whomever's getting married. It's 2020. They'll take photos and then they'll spread what's described as a sooty cheer. And chimney sweeps love this. They're not forced to do it. It makes for a solid side hustle in the summer. Because like we said at the top, chimney sweeping is somewhat seasonal and summer is the slow time for them. So Liz Leister and her husband, the folks who mentioned earlier, they say they do about one wedding a week from April through September. So that's like a regular part of their business. Pretty cool. Pretty cool.
It's funny, Ben, you know, obviously in the United States, we have chimneys aplenty, but I don't really ever think of the chimney sweep as being like a singular profession. It seems to be like it would be something wrapped into another type of, like, you know, all service kind of workman scenario. Mm-hmm. But maybe I'm wrong there, but I did look up modern chimney sweeps in the UK, and obviously they don't wear the old top hat and 13 button coat anymore. They're, you know, much like you would think of someone who would, you know, get on a roof and replace shingles or, like, you know, gutters and things like that, more looking like construction type workers. But they do have these specialized tools, these very long brushes. I'm sure that's improved over time as well. But yeah, very much still alive and well as a profession. Got to wonder, though, Ben, when they go to the weddings, do they think they wear like more of an old timey thing? Is that in some ways sort of, I don't know, not poking fun at the profession? They obviously choose to take the gig and everything. But how do you feel about that, knowing the history of it and knowing how troubling some of this legacy is?
Yeah. It's a good question. I wouldn't fault the chimney sweeps for participating in that tradition. It's a good gig, and it's not them condoning child labor.
No, of course not.
And definitely it's an airbrushed version or a clean swept version. I'm killing it with these today. A clean swept version of history for them to, to dress this way. But we also have to consider, for a lot of these chimney sweeps, they're trying to differentiate themselves from the other folks that could be hired for a wedding. So they want kind of a memorable costume. Some are even giving away bags of genuine soot, which is weird. They'll even do a little bit of theatrical stuff. They'll work with a wedding party to make it seem like, oh, I'm a chimney sweep. I just happened to be here. Congratulations on your wedding. We do have chimney sweeps, of course, in the U.S. They don't maybe have quite the same place in society traditionally, but that's because of one of my favorite old sayings. In Europe, 200 miles is a long way. In the US, 200 years is a long time. There were just more chimney sweeps around for a longer time. And speaking of time, It is time for us to depart. As you know, we're in a challenging economic era, so I am looking for a side gig. Maybe chimney sweeping. It feels like it would be unethical, Noel, for me to be a chimney sweep who just appears at weddings. I feel like I have to actually do the chimney stuff. You know what I mean?
Oh, totally. Yeah, Ben, it does make me question, like, are these really chimney sweeps, like, who are doing this, like, for their profession, doing a side gig, or they do a little soft shoe at a wedding? Like, it just strikes me as very disparate skill sets, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you are a chimney sweep, write in and let us know. Do you also do weddings? What other special events do you do? We would love to hear from you. You can find us all over the internet. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We're on Instagram. That's the one. We are not on ChimneyGram yet, but we'll have to get an account started there. You can also find us as individuals.
Boy, can you ever. You can find me on Instagram exclusively, where I am at How Now Noel Brown. I like to post memes and, you know, pictures. I got a new cat, Ben. Did I tell you about Karomi?
You did. Yes, you did.
Yeah. Well, you can see pictures of my and my daughter, mainly my daughter's new cat. She's a sweet tuxedo 2-year-old adult cat that we adopted. And she's taken to my house like gangbusters, and really happy to have her. I'm exclusively indoor this time. I think I've mentioned I've had indoor outdoor cats in the past and never again. And she's not too much of a meower. Really enjoying her. What about you, Ben? Where can folks see pictures of your amazing felines?
First, congratulations, Noel, to you and your daughter.
Thank you.
And to your cat, your new family member. You can find me, folks, on Twitter, where I'm at Ben Bullen, HSW. I'm currently, this morning I was asking people what kind of awards they would receive if we had a post-pandemic quarantine awards ceremony, which I think we should call the Quarries.
Oh, that's good, Ben.
Thank you, man. You can also find me on Instagram, at Ben Bullen. Just keeping it simple, hide in plain sight. Thanks, as always, to our super producer, Casey Pegram, live and in full effect. Let's all make sure, the three of us and those of us listening, to give chimney sweeps the respect they deserve when we see them. I think personally it'd be weird to walk up to someone while they're at their job and be like, hey, can I touch you or kiss you? That seems like an HR nightmare waiting to happen.
Can I pull a tuft of hair from your pig?
From your pig? Yeah, right. Oh, man. But thanks as always, of course, to some of the hardest working people in podcasts, not just Noel Brown, not just Casey Pegram, but also Alex Williams, who composed this banging track that you heard at the top and you're about to hear at the end.
And congrats to Alex Williams on his new, new to him anyway, 8-track Tascam multi-track tape recorder. If all the nerds out there know what I'm talking about, it's a big deal.
Mm-hmm. Did he get that one from Lauren?
No, he ordered one on eBay, and it's like the same, very close to the same model I used to have growing up when I was getting into multi-track recording. But his does 8 tracks, meaning you can record 8 separate things on separate, individual tracks that you can then mix. Mine only did 4. 15-year-old Noel is super jealous of modern-day Alex.
And big thanks, of course, to Jonathan Strickland, a.k.a. The Quizster, who I am sure is doing a British accent somehow related to chimney sweeping right now, just on his own. He's that kind of dude. Thanks also to Eves Jeffcoat and to Christopher Hasiotis.
And to double down on thanking Chris, he has been Johnny on the spot lately, sending us really cool ideas in our company group chat situation. So you might see some of those on upcoming episodes. What else do we have? I don't think that's about it. In the meantime, if you want to reach out to us, you can do so on Facebook, where you can find our group, Ridiculous Historians, to share historical memes and just, pal around with your fellow Ridiculous Historians. It's a lot of fun, really good group of folks there. And you can get into that by just naming 1 or 2 or 3 of us, and you're in. Hey, that's all we got.
That's it. Chim chim cheree.
Chim chim cheree to you, Ben, and to you and yours, Ridiculous Historians. We'll see you next time. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.